家回到 2C 澳洲中文广播电台，您现在收听到的节目是国语栏目，我是主持人 Sally。 今天呢，我们邀请到了我们的一个非常特殊的嘉宾，也就是我们的 Bradfield 选区独立的联邦议员，也就是我们的 Nicola Bullett。 Hello Nicola。
Hello Sally。
I'm just like welcome you to our interview today。
谢谢。
So, how are you?
您好，欢迎您来到我们的节目。
I'm good, I'm really good. It's been a whole 12 months since being elected, and I've been reflecting on the things that I've achieved, and it's been hard, but it's been a massive privilege to represent the people of Bradfield.
谢谢你 Sally, 很高兴再次来到节目。距离我当选已经整整一年了，这一年来我一直回顾我自己所完成的工作，虽然这段旅程充满了挑战，但能够代表 Bradfield 的居民发声，对我来说是一个莫大的荣幸。
Yes, of course. I remember last time. So actually during the last federal elections, we interviewed you as an independent candidate. So today you are the Bradfield first non-liberal member of the parliament. So how is the everything going like for the past 1 year?
是的，我记得上一次在联邦大选期间呢，我们采访过您，您那时还是一位独立候选人，如今您已经成为 Bradfield 历来首位非自由党联邦议员。回顾过去这一年，您的整体感受如何？那么在这一年的国会工作的经历又是怎么样的呢？
Yes. So I've spent the time getting to learn the language in Canberra, how things get done. And I think certainly my promise to the people of Bradfield was that by selecting an independent, we're going to have fearless and frank and informed opinions from our electorate in Canberra. And that's certainly what I feel we've managed to do. We started that quite well on a number of things like housing and energy. So, feeling quite confident.
在过去的一年里，我花了很多时间去学习了解堪培拉的运作方式，学习国会的制度程序以及政策究竟是如何制定和推动的。从竞选开始，我向 Bradfield 居民做出的承诺就是，如果大家选择一位独立议员，就能在堪培拉拥有一位敢于发声、坦率直言，而且能够以充分资讯和专业判断为基础来代表社区的人。我认为在过去的一年里，我们确实做到了这一点。无论是在住房、能源等重要议题上，我们都已经取得了良好的开端。也正是因此，我对未来的工作充满了信心，相信我们还能为社区带来更多的实际成果。
Yeah, so what has been the biggest challenge for you from transitioning from campaigning as a candidate to serving as an independent MP?
从竞选时的候选人到如今成为了一位独立联邦议员，您认为这个身份的转变过程中最大的挑战是什么呢？
Yeah, so when I think when a party member is elected to represent an electorate, they go to parliament with a team and a whole sort of party behind them, including a platform of policies. That's the opposite for an independent. My promise has been to take what the community has and their interests and their values to Canberra, and might sort of turn it on its head. So instead of the top down, it's the bottom up. So yeah, that's what I've been doing in terms of being out in the community for pop-up offices, online surveys, and other ways to engage people like town halls so that I understand, for example, our federal budget, what people think about changes to tax. And I've been able to take those, put forward changes to the government about how things could be better. And I think it helps as an independent to cut through rather than being some silent person on the backbench inside a party.
当一位政党候选人当选成为选区议员时，他们进入国会时，背后已有整个政党团队作为支持，同时呢，也拥有了一套既定的政策的纲领。但对于一位独立议员而言，情况正好相反。我一直向选民承诺，我会把社区居民的关注、价值观以及他们最在意的事情带到堪培拉。换句话来说，我希望颠覆传统由上而下的决策模式，让政策真正从基层发出，由社区的声音向上反映，而不是由政府单方面的向下制定。因此呢，过去我一年，我花了很多的时间深入了社区，设立了流动的服务站，进行网上问卷调查，并举行了市民大会。 等不同形式的交流活动，希望通过各种方式听取居民的意见。这些交流让我们更了解大家对联邦预算、税制改革等重要议题的看法。我也能够把居民的声音带回坎培拉，向政府提出具体的建议，推动政策作为改善。我认为这正是一位独立议员最大的价值。我可以真正的代表社区发声，把居民的意见直接带进国会，而不是成为政党体制下一位默默坐在后座没有发言权的议员。
Yeah, I'm glad you actually mentioned the budgets, but we're going to talk about the what did you do for like this year first. So looking back for the past year, what have been your priorities in the parliament?
回顾过去这一年，您在国会工作的重点和优先的事项主要有哪些呢？
Yeah, so probably the two big priorities have been around energy security, which is national security, and about housing. I have a survey at the moment online around housing. I want to see if we can get a nationally consistent definition of affordable housing, because we've got the government putting money into funding it. We've got developers going ahead and building affordable housing.And we've got people who are trying to get into affordable homes, but it's not really affordable. So if we don't have a central definition of what affordable is, we can't hold these people to account for it being delivered. And I think if we want to be really smart and prudent economic managers, we have to make sure when we put taxpayers' money towards this, we're actually getting what the community wants.
我认为最大的两项优先工作呢，就是能源安全以及住房问题。而我一直认为能源安全其实就是国家安全。目前呢，我正在进行一项有关住房的网上调查，希望推动建立一套全国一致的可负担住房的定义。现在政府投入了大量的资金发展可负担住房，发展商呢也宣称自己在新建可负担住房，而居民呢则希望能真正的能买得起住得起这些房屋。然而现实情况是，有很多的可负担住房呢其实并不是真正的可负担。如果我们连可负担住房到底代表什么都没有一致的定义的话，就无法监督政府和发展商是否真正的履行了承诺。那如果我们希望成为了负责任、审慎的经济管理者，就必须确保纳税人的每一分钱都真正的花在了社区真正需要的地方。
Yes, understand. So what kind of issue have you heard from your local residents? Like what are the biggest concerns for the past year?
在过去的一年当中，您从选区居民身上听到最多的是哪些问题，以及他们最关心的问题是什么呢？
Housing.
Since the budget, also tax reform, but housing and the infrastructure.That goes behind housing. So our community is going to be shouldering a big part of the obligation of taking more and more density into this area. But with it, the government needs to turn up and help with infrastructure. So open spaces, parks, sewerage even, those things haven't been done well yet. And those are the types of things that I'm working with federally.
还是住房。那自从联邦预算案公布之后呢，税制改革也成为了大家热烈讨论的议题，但住房呢依然是居民最关心的问题。除此之外呢，居民也非常关注住房发展背后所需要的配套的基础设施。我们的社区将会承担越来越高的人口密度，但政府呢也必须同步投入更多的基础建设，例如公共绿地、公园、储物设施以及各类的社区配套。那目前呢，这些配套建设呢仍然是远远不足的，这也是我一直在联邦层面积极去争取改善的重要工作。
Yeah, so you mentioned about the budgets 2026. What do you think about budgets?
您刚刚提到了2026年的联邦预算案，那么整体来讲呢，您是如何评价今年的预算案的呢？
On one hand, I'm pleased that the government, with its large majority, has tried to do tax reform because I mentioned housing is so important, for example, and tax reform is an important lever to pull to help fix housing and unlock some opportunities to get more supply. It's not the only thing, but I think most people in will agree, and certainly the survey that I did on capital gains tax before the budget showed a majority supporting changes to tax around housing. But when the budget was delivered and we saw that the budget also is looking at big tax reforms to the other asset classes, we were pretty surprised and quite blindsided. There are people in this electorate who are founders, small business owners, self-funded retirees, all impacted by what the government's proposing, and there has been little, if any, engagement and even modelling work that's been done about the impact of those changes. And it's hard enough doing business at the moment, but with those extra changes, it has created a very big chilling effect around the investment community and business.
一方面，我乐见于政府利用了自身在国会的多数优势去推动税制的改革。正如我刚才所说的，住房是目前最重要的议题之一，而税制的改革确实是增加住房供应的最重要的工具之一。那当然，它不是唯一的办法，但在预算案公布之前呢，我曾就资本利得税进行过一项调查。那么多数的受访者呢，都支持透过税制改革来改善住房问题。那然而呢，当预算案正式公布之后呢，我们发现政府同时提出了涉及其他资产类别的大规模税制改革，这让不少人感到相当的意外，也有些措手不及。在我的选区里，包括创业者、小企业主以及自筹的退休金的退休人士都将会受到这些政策的影响。但令人担忧的是，政府在推出政策之前呢，几乎没有充分的咨询，也缺乏完整的影响评估和数据模型来分析改革可能带来的后果。那么在目前的经济环境之下呢，经营企业本来就已经是非常困难了，而这些新增的政策改变呢，更是进一步削弱了投资者和商界的信心，形成了一种相当明显的观望效应。
Yeah, understand. Because we know you also host an event about, you know, first year as your MP and also the budget recap event face to face. So, what did you hear about the biggest concern from the communities? What are the biggest concerns about the budgets?
我们知道您近期举办了不少的社区活动，包括担任联邦议员满一周年的分享会，以及面对面的联邦预算案的回顾活动。在与居民交流的过程中，您听到最多的声音是什么？大家对今年联邦预算案最大的关注和忧虑是什么呢？
Yeah, there is, the government hasn't done the best job of communicating what it intends to achieve with the budget. So what we have now is a lot of confusion. And when you have confusion, you don't have business certainty and investment certainty. So people want to know what is it going to mean for, again, as I mentioned, self-funded retirees. And particularly, I mean, I've just spent 35 years in clean energy and investment. And with my venture capital experience, what's being proposed is the opposite of encouraging innovation and risk-taking. And I think what people are saying is they appreciate the government has used its majority. Look at the fairness for the next generation to afford getting into a new home, renting or buying. But they've missed it when it comes to the prosperity part of the equation, where we have the settings that encourages business, that encourages people to take risks, to start businesses, to employ people and to grow the economy and be more productive. We need both, we can have both, but the government needs to do the second half of that equation as well.
我认为政府并没有把这份预算案真正希望达成的目标清楚地向社会说明。因此，目前社会上出现了不少的疑问和不确定性。而当市场充满不确定时，企业就难以建立信心，投资者也会变得更加保守。大家都希望知道这些政策究竟会对自己带来什么样的影响，尤其是那些依靠自筹退休金生活的退休人士，更希望政府能够提供更清晰的说明。我自己在清洁能源投资以及创业投资领域工作了35年，以我的经验来看，目前 前部分政策方向其实与鼓励创新、支持创业和鼓励承担风险的理念背道而驰。我相信大多数的人都理解，也认同政府希望利用国会多数优势提升下一代置业及租屋的负担能力，让社会更加的公平。但是我认为政府忽略了另一个同样重要的面向，那就是如何创造经济的繁荣。我们同样需要一套能够鼓励企业投资，支持创业，鼓励人们勇于承担风险，创造更多的就业机会，推动经济的成长以及提升整体生产力的政策环境。公平与繁荣并不是二选一，我们完全有能力同时兼顾两者，但政府除了追求公平之外，也必须同时建立一个有利于企业发展、促进投资和推动经济持续成长的制度环境。
Yes, of course. We also focus on the issue of cost of living is the major concern of the many Australian families, so especially for the refugees. Do you think the government has addressed the housing like affordability or and also the cost of living issue well enough in this budget?
生活成本一直是许多澳洲家庭，尤其是 Brightfield 选区居民最关心的议题之一。您认为今年的联邦预算案是否是已经充分的回应了住房负担能力以及整体生活成本上升的问题呢？
No. but, you know, there are so many things that are impacting that. As I mentioned, housing is a big one. A lot of people in housing stress, rent or mortgage. The tax reforms go some way towards it, but it's just one. We do need housing supply improvements. And as I mentioned, I have an online survey, also in simplified Chinese, so please fill it out, around a national definition for affordable housing. That's going to be really important. But a cost of living relief now, what we are seeing is, for example, for the first time, energy prices finally coming down. And that's because we have at last more than 50% of the energy supply to the grid is renewable. And we know that renewable energy is the cheapest way to deliver energy productivity. And that's a really good sign. But there are so many different areas, supermarket competition, various other things that the government still needs to get done.
我认为还没有。影响生活成本的因素其实非常多，不可能只靠一项政策就能完全解决。正如我刚才提到的，住房仍然是最大的问题之一，无论是支付房租还是偿还房贷，很多居民目前都承受着沉重的住房压力。税制改革或许能够提供一定程度的帮助，但它只是整体解决方案中的其中一部分。我们仍然需要进一步的增加住房供应，才能真正的改善住房负担问题。正如我刚才提到的，我目前正在进行一项有关建立全国统一的可负担住房定义的网上调查，也提供简体中文版。我非常鼓励大家踊跃的参与，因为这对未来的住房政策发展非常的重要。至于生活成本方面，我们目前终于看到一个令人鼓舞的现象，就是能源价格首次的开始回落。原因是目前全国已有超过一半的电网供电来自可再生能源，而我们知道可再生能源也是目前成本最低的发电方式，这是一个非常正面的发展。不过政府仍然有不少的工作需要完成，例如改善超市市场的竞争环境，以及推动其他一系列有助于舒缓生活成本压力的重要改革。
Yes. So you actually mentioned the energy, and it's going to be our next topic to talk about. So we also noticed that you have been vocal about the PRRT, so the Petroleum Resource Rent Tax. And the contribution of the gas industry to the Australian economy. So what are the key shortcomings of this current PRRT system?
您刚才提到了能源，这也是我们下一个想要深入讨论的议题。我们注意到您一直积极地关注石油的资源租金税 PRRT 以及天然气产业对澳洲整体经济的贡献。您认为目前这一套 PRRT 制度最大的问题在哪里呢？
Yeah, so we are so blessed with an abundance of resources. We have solar, wind, we also have coal and gas.But the crazy thing is, we export almost all of our gas and we compete with other people, we export to Japan, for example, and the Japanese government makes more money out of our gas than we do here in Australia. It also means that we import our gas back, pay international prices, and then, you know, we have less supply here plus increased prices for gas. And the price between gas and electricity, they're linked in terms of how the price of electricity is determined. That's crazy. We need more gas, our gas, to stay on shore and to use it here. It helps bring the price of electricity down. At the same time, this PRRT you mentioned, Sally, it is like last century tax that doesn't work. The gas companies can delay the liability to pay that indefinitely. We have this finite resource. People are making multi-billion dollar profits. The example is that there's been a call for a 25% flat tax on gas exports. And the objective around that is to make sure that Australians get their fair share of that. And we apparently, if we had a tax on this since 2022 when the Labor government was elected, we'd have about $71 billion extra on the budget. That is good economic management. And we could spend that on all sorts of things like maybe free education, free dental, you know, those things that we could do with.
澳洲其实非常幸运，拥有丰富的天然资源，包括太阳能、风能、煤炭以及天然气。但令人难以理解的是，我们几乎把绝大部分天然气都出口到海外。例如，我们向日本出口大量天然气，而日本政府从澳洲天然气所获得的收益甚至比澳洲政府自己还要多。更讽刺的是，澳洲之后还需要以国际市场价格把天然气重新的进口回来使用，结果导致本地天然气供应不足，天然气价格持续偏高，而天然气价格又直接影响了电价，因为天然气是决定澳洲电力市场价格的重要因素之一。我认为这样的制度并不合理，我们应该让更多澳洲自己的天然气留在本地市场，提高国内供应。这样子既能降低天然气价格，也有助降低于整体的电价。另一方面，正如您刚才提到的 PRRT， 我认为它其实是一套属于上个世纪的税制，如今已经无法有效的运行。那么按照现行的制度，天然气公司可以无限期延后缴纳原本应支付的税款，然而我们所开采的是有限的国家资源，而企业呢却从中获得了数十亿澳元的庞大利润。那目前其中一项建议就是对天然气出口征收 25% 的固定税率，目的是确保澳洲人民能够从属于自己的天然资源中获得合理且公平的回报。事实上，如果工党政府自2022年执政开始便实施这一项政策，那么今天联邦政府的财政收入将增加约710亿澳元。我认为这才是一个真正良好的财政管理。这笔额外收入可以投入免费的教育、免费的牙科医疗，以及许多澳洲社会真正需要的重要公共服务。
Yes, so we would like to know about more to the future energy in Australia. So we actually, we noticed they have the domestic gas reservation scheme is going on. It's pretty.
我们也想谈谈澳洲未来的能源发展方向。我们注意到政府目前呢正在推动本地天然气保留政策。您是如何看待这一项政策的呢？您认为它将如何影响澳洲未来的能源发展呢？
Yeah,
it's I mentioned before that we need, if we can keep more of our own gas here, increased supply, lower prices. And so I went to the election asking for exactly that. Where they have it in WA, Western Australia, we should have it here, which is the East Coast Gas Reservation Policy. I'm very pleased the government has seen the light and is attempting to make that happen. They're in discussions with the gas industry at the moment, and we hope to have a plan for next year. What I'm hoping to, though, is by keeping going with our electrification agenda, we inoculate against what's happened, for example, in the war in Iran, where we have our own local energy supply and we have least cost energy because we're not importing very expensive and very unreliable liquid fuels that we put into our cars and trucks and what have you. So the idea is to offer any uncontracted gas here to Australia first before then offering it overseas. And the principle behind that is we have that gas here, obviously cheaper, but also when we need it. And as I mentioned, the gas price is what sets, the highest gas price sets for the electricity price. And we absolutely can, with renewable energy, have some of the world's cheapest energy. So that those gas settings are really important.
正如我刚才提到，我们需要让更多澳洲自己的天然气留在本地市场，增加国内供应，从而降低能源价格。这也是我在竞选期间一直积极倡导的政策。那西澳呢，早已实施了本地天然气保留制度，我认为东岸也应该建立同样的政策，也就是推行东岸的天然气保留机制。我很高兴看到政府如今终于意识到这一项政策的重要性，并正在积极的推动落实。目前政府呢正在与天然气产业进行协商，希望明年呢能够提出具体的方案。那除此之外呢，我也希望澳洲能够持续推动整体的电气化发展。如果我们能够朝着这个方向持续的努力，就能够有效的降低国际局势对澳洲能源供应带来的冲击。那例如近期伊朗冲突所造成的能源市场波动，如果我们拥有更多的本地能源供应，就不需要高度依赖价格昂贵、供应不稳定的进口的液体燃料来驱动汽车、卡车以及整一个运输系统。至于本地天然气的保留政策，其实它的概念并不复杂，它的核心做法呢，就是要求所有尚未签订出口合约的天然气必须优先供应澳洲本地市场，在满足了国内需求之后呢，才能够出口到海外。这项政策背后的原则其实非常简单，只要有更多天然气留在澳洲，我们就能拥有更充足的本地供应，更合理的天然气价格，也能在真正需要能源时确保供应充足。正如我刚才提到的，天然气价格直接影响到澳洲电力市场的定价机制。如果我们能够建立合理的天然气政策，同时持续发展可再生能源，澳洲完全有机会成为全球能源成本最低的国家之一。那么因此呢，我认为天然气政策的设定对澳洲未来能源发展是至关重要的。
Yes. So, we know, like, because you haven't mentioned the gas actually connects to the energy, electric price as well. But nowadays, you know, with the geopolitical conflicts happening in the world, there's so many concerns. And so we are talking about like supply chain disruptions and also transition to the cleaner energy you have mentioned about. So what do you think, what are the biggest challenge of the global energy landscape for Australia?
我们知道天然气价格呢与电价是息息相关的。那不过放眼全球，目前的世界各地呢仍是面临着地缘政治的冲突、供应链的中断以及能源转型等挑战。您认为澳洲未来能源发展最大的挑战是什么呢？
Well, I think we've seen that one of the biggest challenges is that we are reliant on other countries for basically the machines like the trucks and the cars that move goods and services around our country from the farm to the supermarket. We need to get more energy independent because energy independence is, and energy security, I should say, is national security. I think we've made really good inroads and on things like electrifying our passenger fleets. I think there's something like 16% of all new cars now are electric compared to China. It's like over 2/3. What we need to do, and that's the magic word, is we need to electrify. If we electrify what we can, like our cars, like our homes, and our industry, it means that we can use the solar and the wind and use our peaking gas here to be energy independent. That means that when there are conflicts overseas, we are not as susceptible to those really high prices and shocks that ripple right throughout the economy, including to the supermarket when you want to fill up your trolley with goods and, you know, with food, for example. That's going to put us in such a strong position. And I have to say, when you look at what China has done with its 5-year plans on electrifying its domestic economy, it's really weathered the war in Iran very well compared to other places like Australia.
我认为目前最大的挑战之一呢，就是澳洲仍然是高度依赖着其他的国家。那无论是物流运输所需要的卡车、汽车，还是许多推动整个经济运作的重要设施，我们都是相当依赖着海外供应的。那么因此呢，我们必须要提升能源自主的能力，因为我一直认为能源安全就是国家安全。那么近年来呢，我们其实已经是获得了一些进展的，那例如推动电动车发展。那么目前澳洲新售出的汽车当中呢，大约有 16% 是电动车。那么相比之下呢，中国目前已经有超过2%的新车都是电动车了。所以我认为最重要的一个方向就是全面的推动电气化。只要我们能够有更多的交通工具、住宅以及工业系统完成电气化，就可以充分的利用澳洲自己的太阳能、风能以及本地的天然气作为能源的来源。那么如此一来呢，当海外爆发战争或者其他国际冲突时，澳洲就不会那么容易的受到影响。因此每当国际燃料价格大幅上升，运输成本就会增加，而这些成本呢，最终都会转嫁到整个经济，那包括了超市里的每一项商品、每一份食品的售价。如果我们真正能做到能源自主，澳洲整体的抗风险能力将会大幅的提升。那另外我也必须说，当我们观察到中国透过5年规划持续推动国内全面电气化时，我们可以看到在近期的伊朗局势所带来的能源冲击下，中国受到的影响明显会比澳洲等其他的国家要小得多。
So do you think, what do you see the future of our energy, in Australia? Like, how will it be?
那么展望未来，您认为澳洲的能源发展的方向会是怎么样的呢？
Well, the cheapest energy, is solar and wind and energy efficiency. And we know that when we electrify our economy, that is the energy independence. It is cheapest energy and it is the best for our national security. That, it's also very good, obviously, if it's renewable for our climate change ambitions of keeping a safe climate. It is one of those magical win-win-wins if we get this right. We're really doing well. We've got over 50% renewables. We're going to stay the course and just get it done.
我认为未来成本最低的能源仍然会是太阳能、风能以及提升能源使用的效率。我们已经知道，只要澳洲能够持续的推动整体经济的电气化，就能够真正实现能源自主。这不但代表着能源成本最低，也能代表着对国家安全最有利。那同时呢，由于这些都是可再生能源，也能够协助澳洲实现应对气候变化的目标，维持一个更安全、更稳定的气候环境。那我认为这是一个真正能够兼顾经济、安全与环境的三赢方案。如果我们能够把这件事情做好，澳洲未来将会处于一个非常有利的位置。目前我们已有超过一半的电力是来自可再生能源。那接下来呢，最重要的就是坚定既定的方向，把能源转型持续的推进下去。
Yeah, so talking about the energy, we have a rapid growth on AI, artificial intelligence. So we know Australian government is right now is having a significant investment in the AR data centers. But we know the centers actually depends on reliable and affordable energy. So do you think if we, Australia, is adequately prepared for these energy demands for the AI era?
那么谈到能源，我们也想谈谈人工智能的快速发展。澳洲政府呢，目前正在大力投资 AI 的数据中心，但我们也知道，数据中心呢，需要大量稳定而且价格合理的能源供应。您认为澳洲是否已经是准备好迎接 AI 时代所带来的能源需求呢？
No, I don't, but I think we can be. And my big alarm is that we don't want to repeat what we've done now with our gas industry, which is to let big international companies sell our finite resources overseas and not get a fair share of the benefit of that. When people want to put, the big tech companies want to put their data centers in Australia because it is a great, you know, democracy, good, relatively good economy, stable place to invest, we want to make sure as Australians we're getting our fair share. So we need to have a good business settings, but also the tax settings so that we get the value from that. Because AI, apart from the data center impact, will have big implications and impacts for the economy, for the workforce in particular. And I think we need to be on the front foot and take advantage of the opportunity to get the tax settings right so that we get money for other things that we need to invest in to compensate the shifts in the workforce, for example.
我认为目前还没有完全准备好，但我相信我们是有能力做到的。我最大的担忧是不要去重蹈天然气产业过去所犯下的错误。我们曾经允许大型的跨国企业开采澳洲有限的天然资源，再将资源大量的出口，而澳洲人民却未必能从中获得公平合理的回报。那现在呢，全球的大型科技公司希望把数据中心设立在澳洲，原因包括澳洲是一个成熟稳定的民主国家，经济环境呢也是相对的稳健的，这是值得长期投资的地方，这本身也是一个非常好的机会，但我们必须确保澳洲人民能够公平分享这些投资所带来的利益。因此我们除了需要建立良好的营商环境，也需要设计合理的税制，确保 AI 所创造的经济价值能够真正回馈到澳洲社会。人工智能所带来的影响呢，绝非不只是数据中心本身，它将会深刻地改变整个经济，也将会对劳动市场带来重大的冲击。因此呢，我们必须提前做好准备，透过完善的税制，让澳洲政府拥有足够多的资源，投资于协助劳工转型、技能提升以及应对未来产业变革所需要的各项措施。
Yes, of course. So we are almost the time for end of the interview. We know, so we interviewed you before and you mentioned about the Australian Chinese community in the Brevview. Is there any message you would like to deliver to our audience, like especially when they live in Brevview?
节目时间也差不多，那么在上一次采访您的时候，您曾提到非常重视 Brevview 华人社区的交流，最后您有没有一些话想要对我们的听众，特别是居住在 Brevview 选区的华人居民所说的呢？
Thank you, Sally. Yeah, that is that I'm, my job here is to serve you. And as a truly independent MP, I'm only as good as the people who turn up and tell me what your problems, your hopes, and your, what you need from me. We have a number of opportunities and attempts to communicate across, also across to, we have our website is in simplified Chinese. We do some of our surveys also in Chinese. We have one out at the moment, excuse me, on housing. And I just encourage people, please, you know, this democracy belongs to you. Your voice matters. And let me know how I can represent you. Get in touch. You can email me. I'm on WeChat. You can find me there too. And yeah, let's make Bradfield the best place possible to raise kids, do business, and have a really good retirement.
谢谢你 Sally. 我最想传达的一个讯息其实很简单，那就是我的工作就是为大家服务。作为一名真正的独立的联邦议员，我是否能够做好这一份工作，很大程度呢是取决于大家是否愿意站出来，把自己的困难、希望以及对我的期待告诉我。那我们也一直努力地建立更多与社区的沟通的渠道。那目前呢，我们的官方网站呢已经是提供了简体中文版本，部分的社区问卷呢也设有中文的版本。现时我们正在进行一项有关于住房议题的调查，我也非常鼓励大家踊跃地去参与。那民主呢是属于每一位市民的，大家的声音都非常的重要，希望大家随时能与我联络，让我知道我可以如何更好地代表大家在国会为大家发声。大家可以透过电子邮件联络我，也可以在微信上找到我。那我希望呢与大家一起努力，把 Brevview 建设成一个更适 适合养育下一代，更适合创业发展，也更适合安享退休生活的地方。
So thank you so much. It's going to be the end of our interview.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
非常感谢您今天接受我们的访问，也谢谢您与我们分享您的看法。那本次的访谈到这里告一段落，谢谢您。